What a day. I came home not too long ago, about 15, 20 minutes ago. I had a dental appointment this morning. So my mouth is kind of numb. And came home and checked on what's the latest news, and now my heart is kind of numb. Learning of the death of Winnie Mandela, the former wife of Nelson Mandela, and a leader in her own right, dying after a long illness, which has not yet been disclosed since the beginning of the year. And she passed away early Monday, early today. In the early afternoon, we'll talk about her because we need to, but we need to be prepared. We don't want it just to be, well, let's just say anything. Let's think about what we need to say about Winnie Mandela. By the way, let me talk about the music we just used, and it was prophetic. For some reason, I love this piece of music. It says so many things in so many ways. It is by the pianist Randy Weston, still going strong at 91. And the title of the piece is J.K. Blues, Cecil Payne on sax and Ahmed Abdul Malik on bass. This is from Weston's 1993 album, Volcano Blues, a collaboration with trombonist and arranger Melba Liston. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead and quite saddened today. But you know, I have to encourage us all to take a different tact. Loss is to be expected, really, when you think about it. We all are here for a finite amount of time. And do we always think that we could accomplish infinite tasks in a finite amount of time? It never works that way. But there are people who seem to make it work. There are people who seem to be able and seem to be blessed to be able to do it, to cram a whole lot of life into the small, finite amount of time they've granted on this earth. So, as we open the program today, let us think kindly of Winnie Mandela. We will talk about her at great length tomorrow and perhaps even the day after that, because there's so much to say about this woman, this extraordinary woman. And let us, for the moment that she has passed, let us recall her good works and hold her in high esteem, continue to hold her in high esteem for leading such a complicated life and for achieving so much in so short a time. And even so, even in her death, people just cannot see that there's any, finite end to her life. There will never be. So let us hold her in our hearts in that spirit. I want us to talk seriously today about what we see coming down the pike in the Sacramento police killing of Stephon Clark. Will there be justice or a settlement? Or maybe even both. Of the 20 shots fired at 22-year-old Stephon Clark by two Sacramento police officers on March the 18th, eight ripped through his body, almost all of them through his back, a forensic pathologist said at a news conference on Friday, a day after Clark's funeral. Dr. Bennett Omalu also found that bullets struck Clark in the neck and thigh, breaking bones inside his body, piercing a lung, and causing him to bleed massively, he said, although death was not instantaneous. It took between 3 and 10 minutes before Clark died of his wounds, Omalu said. But Clark received no medical attention during that time. Omalu's report added fire to the community's red-hot fury over the officer's killing of Clark. But except for a few reports of minor confrontations between protesters and police, the tone of news coverage has begun to be quite conciliatory, if you're paying attention. This means that serious so-called negotiations have begun. But with what objectives? Once again, the troubling question arises. Will there be justice? Or will there be a settlement? Either way, do the people gain anything? We have seen enough of these cases to see, to understand the way things go. There is a system now. There's a structure to how things happen and are done in the immediate moment of the killing. Great outpouring of distrust, anger, rage, what have you, from the community. And you have, of course, with all of this directed at the system, the local system, you have the system taking on its customary posture, which is to clam up, have nothing to say, and to insist that they are looking very, very assiduously into what had happened with an eye toward just understanding it. There's no commitment. There's never a commitment by the system to look into things with an eye toward prosecution, but simply to understand the complex nature of the interaction between the person killed and the officer or officers who did the killing. Isn't it odd? Isn't it strange that with all of these investigations, we have never heard once from the law enforcement community in particular that they're using a fine-tooth comb to gather as much evidence as they possibly can to bring a case against officers implicated in the death of a person or persons. It is always to understand this complex interaction, as if that's enough. But we see, for example, in the Washington Post, a report that things are kind of, it's coming to a point of rapprochement. Both sides are beginning to make an effort to really understand each other. This is the propaganda that we're now going to be hearing quite a bit of, because there is an intention, especially in this very tumultuous political time, you have to get a grip of this thing and put it to bed, definitively put it to bed, the way they want it. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the subtle and not so subtle shifts in coverage of this tragedy in Sacramento. But I'm asking you today, based on what you have observed, you don't, I mean, we're not experts here, except as expert observers. Okay. We could claim expertise in observing things, but not just in observing, in interpreting a situation based on our observations. What do you think has happened in the last week that causes me to say that we're headed down the same path of justice or settlement in the case? Why would I say such a very unkind thing? You've been observing the case. You've been monitoring the reports, and you have prior knowledge of how many of these high-profile cases have gone. What do you see that existed in those cases, circumstances, attitudes, environments, actions? What do you see that prevailed in these previous cases that appears to be the case here in this case in Sacramento? Or am I just having some kind of a mental moment? And I want you to pay attention as you tell us, you know, you share your observations with us. I want you to make an effort to pinpoint. That means you have to be a bit more specific than you usually would be. I want you to bring yourself into the realm of saying this condition existed or was brought into existence during such and such a case. I'm seeing it happening here again. And then we interpret these observations. And we extend the interpretation into addressing the specific question. Will this case ever go to trial? Or will this case be settled? And in settlement, therefore, the people will be persuaded that settlement is justice. I ask you, 888-874-4888. Now, be careful about what it is we're doing here. We are doing what political analysts do. We are putting things together that lead us in one direction or the other. There's no right or wrong, but there is the matter of interpretation of facts that we can all accept as facts. We may not agree on the final determination that each of us makes in interpreting those facts, but that's not important. What's important is that you are able to assemble facts which makes you more than just the average observer. You are cognizant of what is happening. So it would be no surprise to you when things go in one direction or another. You already understand what the environment is, how it has been choreographed to produce a predictable result. Patricia from New York starts us off today. Hey, Patricia, how you doing?
Afternoon to the PRN family. I hope your dental work will, obviously necessary, but hopefully you'll feel better soon.
Thank you.
You know, when I heard this, about the shooting, the first thing that went through my mind was, please don't let it be the usual cast of characters, these ambulance chasers, who are on the scene before the body is even cold. And when I saw that it was Crump and Company, and now with this autopsy report, I said to myself, okay, the city is probably figuring out how much is it that they want. Let's see what our bank account can withstand, and let's just get ready to write the check. And more than that, I can't say.
What was significant about the independent report that comes the day after the funeral, and why is this significant?
Well, I think it makes it much, much easier for them to bolster their case that this was an unjustifiable and bad shoot. And in terms of the negotiation, it puts them in a much stronger position. You know, the old adage that future behavior is predicated on past behavior says to me that this would be the regular course of action.
But isn't this, in effect, a kind of change for them, too? I mean, they didn't do this before.
Now, that's
they didn't
very
preempt the police before.
You're absolutely correct. And so I think in terms of their strategy, they've learned over time. But their strategy is still the same nonetheless.
Well, all right. I'm inclined to agree with you. You're scary. You're very scary.
Very.
Because you put these things together very, very well. And you're right.
And you know, I watched the news, the interview with the grandmother, and you know, there she is screaming for justice, and that's where she thinks that these people will direct her to justice. And the poor woman has no idea that that is not what she's going to get.
What is she going to get?
She's going to get some money.
She'll get
and
some
that's
money.
About it. But
okay.
I'm praying that because she was just so emphatic about wanting justice, that she will be the first family to resist this.
No, but in the scheme of things, who else is there to help her?
No, there is no one.
There's no one to help her.
There's
so
no
she's
one.
Taking the help she's getting. But she still has reservations which are unspoken at this time. And if you were to put before her a choice, do you want justice or do you want money?
And you know, these are poor families, and you know, they probably think my loved one is dead. I can't bring him back. I can't undo this. This is probably going to be the best result that I can get. And this is probably the direction that these vultures around her, that's where they lead her. This is the best that you can get.
Well, what do you say is an excellent clue that that's where they were going to go in any case?
Well, I don't hear them asking for anything that would indicate that they're looking that the direction is an investigation of any kind other than the autopsy report. I mean, with this autopsy report, they can certainly do a lot of things, but I don't hear them saying anything else.
What would be the definitive clue that they intend to pursue justice?
Well, they could certainly ask for the prosecutor to be removed. I don't know what else. I'm trying to think, you know, you get an independent prosecutor in the case.
Hey, all right. Amen. Amen. That's the answer. There has been no indication so far, and we should have gotten one by now, that they intend to ask to insist on a special prosecutor. That would have been the most definitive clue that they were headed toward justice. Now, the funny thing is, if they went that route, it also provides for a money settlement. That's part of the law. But that would come as a result of a trial that determines innocence and guilt and punishment of the people who have been identified as the killers. Then comes the other part, which would be assessing culpability and damages for such. You see? Now, this is how you look at the case. No papers yet have been filed by anybody. No one has called for a special prosecutor. Have we not seen this yet? Have we not seen this enough times? There is no professed intention so far, no signal that they want to fight the system. And they want to settle this particular matter once and for all. Now, this goes all the way back to the killing of Amadou Diallo and so many people of color across the country. Everybody thinks a settlement is just. Has nothing to do with it. If there were a sincere intention to seek justice, in my view, there would have been some kind of signal sent through the courts to the governor, to the Department of Justice, demanding the appointment of a special prosecutor. Since you have gone ahead and preempted your enemies, if you will, by doing your own autopsy, which is exactly what they ought to have done, and by putting it out there prior to any statement that the police, law enforcement, anybody else could make, they have taken preemptive action to shut them all up. But the one thing you're looking for here is whether they have filed any papers, given any indication that they are going for trial here. They're going for the conviction of these two officers. They're going for the punishment. They also will get, because the law provides it, the compensatory damages, and their punitive damages. So there's nothing wrong about pursuing damages. But that's the only move they have made so far. Thank you, Professor.
Okay, then. Have a good day.
You too. Mahat, you're on the air. Did you get what we just talked about?
You, Therese, greetings to the beloved family, and I need you, when I hang up, I need you to repeat, make sure I have the name of that music. As it came on, it changed my whole mood in terms of being soothed and everything that's going on now. And it also reminded me of, you know, on a TCM just before the noir movie comes on. first of all, maybe there's a little teeny tiny glimmer of hope, because in the commentary that I'm hearing, in the instance of somebody whose name is Paige Pate, didn't get what his affiliation was, but he was just totally dumbstruck in terms of the Alton Sterling case, in terms of realizing that until there are criminal prosecutions of obvious murders, that nothing will change. And he's a white guy speaking that. And I heard another on AM Joy, I heard a panel that seemed to arrive to that conclusion. Now, attorneys can actually, there's a process where attorneys themselves can kind of bypass the DA, the district attorney, and the AG, and there's a process that probably maybe many attorneys don't know, but where they can put on a criminal charge. The fact that, when we last spoke, I was referencing something that I hadn't heard anybody talk about, and that was in the darkish, dark footage of the young man. There's so many of them, Stefan, that it was obvious to see that he was running away from them. I could see that all those shots had to go in the back. And 2 hours or so later, that actually came out. Now, it doesn't look good in certain respects because the sheriff department in Sacramento, this is unbelievable. Their car, I heard something on it earlier where a 60-some-old woman was plowed down. Yeah, and they just kept on going. So this atmosphere that we're in, that's sort of a new development, you know, where police car was bad enough they hit, and I just found out that they just kept on going, unconcerned about her injuries. So it doesn't look good. And I just want to lastly say, because I know you graced that area recently, but those folks that think that there's something authentic happening in terms of because of who's leading that charge in modeling Newark, I say stay home. And on an upcoming Friday, I'll give some more detail on that, because it references something that you said the other day in how we're too big a part of the problem.
Thank you for your call, Mark. Thanks for contributing today. What I want to encourage you to do all the time is constantly add to your reservoir of information based on what knowledge is shared. And don't think the way they want you to think. You can certainly come to a conclusion because you're following the clues. A young man is killed by two police officers under highly contentious situations. All kinds of explanations are given, but that doesn't matter, does it? What matters is who did the killing and under what circumstances was the killing done? Who, therefore, is responsible and what does responsibility require? What does the law require? The law figures this out very easily when the situation is in reverse. It is when you have people of color, there comes all the, you know, this is a complicated issue. It's not a complicated issue at all. Who killed who? Why? Under what circumstances? That's all. That's pretty much what determines guilt. That's pretty much what determines a crime everywhere in the United States. But everywhere where we've seen major cases evolve, this has been the question. Oh my gosh, this is so complicated. It's not complicated at all. The forensic pathologist was able to tell even how long it took for this young man to die after being shot. This is not complicated stuff. Where we have to start putting little pieces together to see what the vested interest is, depending on who is managing the information. Here we have a police commissioner, the first African-American appointed in Sacramento. He doesn't want to have this be the way he's entering his term of office. Al Sharpton has a national program as a national broadcaster. He has a national organization. He's already put his foot in the pond of political office or public office. They don't want any problems now with the Democratic Party. The governor of the state is a Democrat. The mayor of Sacramento is a Democrat. They don't need this agitation to cause them more trouble, because the obvious thing is they could barely hold on to the voters that they have. They don't need disgruntled voters. So even as they profess their absolute commitment to justice, they really don't want justice at all. They want this thing to get up and go away. Benjamin Crump is the leader of a national lawyers organization, the National Black Lawyers Association. And by the way, there's a little thing. When you hear about the American Bar Association, as opposed to the National Bar Association, that's how they differentiate who the whites and who the blacks are. If the word national is used, it's black. So the National Lawyers Association is the black group. The National Dental Association, black dentists. The National Antibody is black. The American whatever is white. See the world we live in? And we don't even understand that. So we have the political pieces coming into play that everybody recognizes will be very pivotal in the upcoming election. Would blacks bolt from the party? Would they cause rebellion? The job of Al Sharpton is to chill them out. Even as he professes, they're looking for justice. But there's no indication. No legal papers filed. I've been asking the same question all through the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson. Can you direct me to where I can find your file, whatever documents you submitted, demanding that the governor appoint a special prosecutor? They don't want that kind of fight. They want this thing to go away as quickly as possible, and the fastest way to do that is to get a settlement. Then everybody goes home, and they pretend they achieved something. Lee from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Well, Utrice, you guys have said just about everything that I wish to contribute. Whenever I see Al Sharpton involved, it's like he'll calm the waves and he'll look to try and get the most money out of the situation as possible. It never fails.
Well, you know, but let's be fair now. That is what any savvy lawyer or any kind of help, that's exactly what they would do, to try to get the most money, to try to get the biggest compensation package possible. But it can't be the only thing. Right? I'm for the family being compensated as much as possible. But don't tell me that that's it. And don't try to equate that with justice. It isn't. Even now, although the Garner case was settled, there has been no redress of the central point of the case. The man was choked to death. The chokehold was banned by the police department. There were so many irregularities surrounding the hearing of Pantaleo, the lead guy who applied the chokehold. But they're not the only ones who should have been charged with Eric Garner's death. You can see on the tape, the videotape, the medical personnel didn't render any aid. They let the man die right there. All of the police officers, besides Pantaleo, who were with him and helped him choke Garner to death, were all, in my view, liable as criminals and should have been prosecuted as criminals. no such thing has happened. They got the protection of the department itself. Nobody had to stand trial on charges of homicide. Nobody. So that's my point. In this case, we can all agree, can we not, that the shooting involved Stefan as the victim and at least two other cops doing the shooting. Other cops might be also pulled into this as well, having culpability, including the helicopter people who were directing those on the ground what to do. But in the end, we have police agents taking the life of a citizen and rendering no aid even after they shot at him 20 times. So this is now depraved indifference on top of the fact that they killed him. After they killed him, there's no accountability for this. So this is what justice involves, addressing the entire thing. I hope I didn't take everything. You must have something else to say.
Well, I can't tell you her name, but I've been sick over the last month and I'm not well now. But there was a white woman with a gun that the police were able to apprehend here in New York a couple of weeks ago without hurting her at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a gun. And they saw the gun.
Okay. And you say this to prove...
To say that whenever the complexion of the perp is, there's always a different reaction by the police department. Several police respond in that case, but nobody shot her, and she had a gun. And she was menacing, yes.
And this is why these questions have to be brought to light and dealt with head on.
Mm-hmm.
We have blown so many opportunities, and these cases were so prominent in our memory when they occurred. We recoiled with horror to see the lengths at which the police department went to cover up for the officers, and the disregard that they had for the implication of just saying, well, okay, we give you some money, now will you go away? It isn't all about money. It is also about addressing the problems within the department, and even that is a recurring problem because reports have been written, studies have been done. Nothing new has occurred here in the shooting of Stefan Clark, as we can collectively recall, that is different from the other experiences that we do recall. So it means that there is no interest in fixing the problem. They don't see this as a problem.
Well, you trees, last but not least, what I would have to say also in that regard is that we as a community needs to make a number one issue of the fact that Alton's license has been suspended or put on ice or however they want to describe it for approximately 20 years. He's been convicted of no crime. They haven't brought any charges against him, and we have lawyers that have gone to jail and come out, and their license has been restored. How do we allow ourselves to let a mayor of New York be elected as a Democrat or as an independent, right, and that not be central to him getting our vote?
Well, that is a very searing matter, and it is also ironic, because the person who could make a definitive difference in this whole
exactly.
discussion about the restoration of Alton Maddox's license is the man who Alton Maddox saved from federal prison, and that's Al Sharpton.
Mm-hmm. But not a peep.
But
not a peep. What New York has decided is, if we can't beat him, we'll eat him.
Well, Lee, I thank you for your call today. I'm so glad that you're thinking on a whole different level here, because that's what I want people to encourage people to do. Don't just listen to what people are saying and accept it as the truth of things. Your own intuition, your own common sense, your own knowledge should be directing you to see this whole thing unfolding very differently, because you have precedents. We all have precedents in terms of the kinds of cases that we have witnessed and how they turned out, producing no justice, but a settlement. And now we are to believe that it's the same thing. Justice is a settlement is justice. No such thing. Resist thinking that way. Thank you, Lee, for your call. We can take at least a couple more calls at 888-874-4888. This is what makes a population, an educated population, very, very hard for the powers that be to handle. If you are not so easily fooled and conned, oh, they'll make mincemeat out of you. And they'll go through all kinds of elaborate processes to convince you that they're on the ball, they're on the case. They're looking to safeguard our collective, you know, rights, and they're looking for justice and all of this kind of stuff. We've gotten enough of that. And if there's one thing that this case can do, is put an end to it. And to serve notice that we are not easily fooled. If you come to terms with the family and they get the biggest payout ever, good. I say great. Because the law provides for that. But I want to see proof that some kind of progress has been made in this business of justice. All this bloodshedding, all this marching and protesting is not about a settlement. It's about justice. The settlement applies in individual cases, but again, that is a process that is allowed by law. They're not, you know, this is nothing to hide. If there's a determination that members of the police department cause such grievous harm, as in any other case, anybody causing anybody grievous harm, including death, the law provides for compensation, because the death means that person no longer is part of a family structure. That person no longer can be a father or a mother. That person can no longer earn a living. That person can no longer pursue his or her hopes and dreams and aspirations. So it is just that in such cases, you fight for compensation, because that is part of the crime. You've deprived this person, and you deprive the family of this person and the community of this person's talents and ability to make contributions to the community. So that's in the law. That's not something special. But what we ought to be concerned about is that this case does not take the historic turn that these kinds of cases have taken. And then the people are being persuaded that this is justice in action. No, it isn't. The protests and the community outrage and so forth are directed toward the goal of beefing up the demand for compensation rather than the demand for justice. We need to see people held accountable. We need to see people being charged. We need to see convictions, especially in a clear case like this. Most of the bullets fired at Stephon Clark, according to the forensic pathologist, hit him in the back, meaning he was not running to the cops. He was running away from the police. And in the situation that developed in that very tight moment, was he incorrect to run from the police? It's dark, people telling you, barking orders at you. You don't know who they are. And you see that they intend to kill you. What would you do? Running is an act of defense. Self-defense. And then we know from the tapes, we hear people saying, one officer instructing the other officers to cut the audio on their tapes so that they can have certain kinds of discussions off the record with nobody else hearing. These things are highly irregular, but they're not the first time that they've happened. So if anything comes of this case in terms of activism, it would be the redirection of energy away from the concentrated purpose, the all-in-one purpose here of getting a nice fat payout. That is not what we ought to be looking for. We were deprived of justice in too many cases before, where with the demand being about the payout, and the payout essentially is translated to the community as, oh, see what we did? We forced them to pay us money. We forced them to pay the family money. That is simply a part of the trial process. The trial process has never really yielded the results. The trial process is what everybody should agree upon as the most important part of this process. But to this date, there has been no request, and you don't get the request by saying, putty, putty, please, could you put a special prosecutor on this case? No. That itself is a legal fight. You compel the state. You compel the federal government through litigation. You argue the very point that the community has been making, that this is an intransigent system. When wrong is committed, they refuse to correct it. They are part of an elaborate system, of an elaborate conspiratorial system to deprive the people that they deprive of life, to deprive them of fairness in a court of law and protection under the law. This is the fundamental problem. And it doesn't go away because somebody issues a study. It doesn't go away because yet another study is to be recommended and we should have changes in departmental, you know, how the department handles things. That's not what is at issue here. This is not an administrative issue. This is a crime. A very serious, the most serious of crimes. That agents of the law kill citizens at will, expecting that nothing will happen to them. And in some cases, construct elaborate methods to evade accountability, to evade justice. Now that's the issue. Let us begin to direct the attention to that. We close out again, recalling with great love and affection and admiration and respect Winnie Mandela, who died today at the age of 81. We will talk more about her tomorrow, and we will discuss her significance. Everybody has in their way a very significant role to play in the world. Few of us get to play that role as largely as Winnie Mandela did for her life on this earth. So send good thoughts her way and thanks for her service to the world, and particular for people who have been oppressed for so long. And we'll see each other tomorrow. Stay tuned. What's coming up next? You see, I have it written down, but it should be. Oh, Molotovs. Meditations and Molotovs. With Vincent Emanuele. We're talking about.